Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, well, thanks for coaching me today.
Oh, thank you for allowing me to not only coaching you, but also recording this as well. And it's so good to see you, after the holiday.
Thank you.
I just wondering, before we jump in, is there anything you would like to share with me, or would you like to go straight into the session?
I would love to go into the session. Well, that's fine.
Oh, okay, sure. So what would you like to focus on today?
Actually, a situation that just recently happened to me this week. And I had a friend staying overnight, and both of us, we are doing a training certificate for mindfulness training. And we prepared the workshop, and she stayed overnight at my place. And the next morning, she was to leave by train. And I brought her to the metro station, everything fine, everything good. And maybe 10 minutes later, I got a phone call. Stephanie, there has been an electrical failure. So how am I going to get to the main station now? And I said, okay, no worries. There's alternative trains. Let's take this one. You still have time. So everything fine. The problem was that then the main station was also totally closed due to a storm that happened the night before, and no trains were leaving. And she called me basically every 5 minutes. There is no info. Can you drive me to the airport? Where do I get a rental car? And the situation I would like to explore with you is this: I got dragged into something which I couldn't obviously do anything about it because the internet info wasn't correct on, when the trains start running again. There was basically nothing to do, only to wait and to see where to get the information. And the only info was at the place at the main station. So she called me every 5 minutes, and I got dragged into this, feeling helpless and also feeling totally in action, even though I couldn't do anything. And I would like to explore how can I stay with this situation of someone else's pressure more calm and, step in a distance and say, oh, okay, this is the situation. There's nothing I can do. I can be there for her. But it was like she made me totally nervous. And I would like to understand what happened here.
Okay, right. Oh, okay. Sounds like quite a challenging situation.
It was.
So you want to explore into it, what happens and how can you manage the situation in a better of state of being? Is that
Yes,
did I hear that right?
absolutely. So not being triggered, I just put it now into some drastic words, not being pulled into someone else's drama. So it's not that I'm not empathetic and I'm there and I'm receptive to her issue, but when there is nothing to be done, I cannot do anything and then stop starting into action and try, and even though there is no action possible. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean. So if we explore into this, for maybe about 30 minutes, what would you like to take away at the end of our session?
I would like to have an understanding what the trigger is and how can I not jump into the trigger into action where no action is possible.
So what would the success look like?
Me feeling confident and observant that next time something like this happens, I can step back and not start into action. It's like an automatism. Someone is in need or needs help, and I'm stepping in, even though nothing can be done. So for me, the success would be aware of the trigger and only step in when something can be done. So it's like making action later happening later. Do you know what I mean?
So you would like the success for you would look like by the end of the session, you feel that when such situations come again, you want to feel confident observant.
Yes.
And not being triggered by it.
Triggered into action.
Not triggered into action.
So yes.
Tell me, what do you mean by being triggered into action?
Mm. So she called me. Can you look up the renting car? Can you check the flights? Can you check we have a bus system for big city tours, so connecting bigger cities. Can you check the Flixbus? Oh, now somebody's calling, hang up again. I will call you in a minute. And then I had to work and I couldn't even think a new thought, and the phone rang again. But I couldn't, on the other hand side, you know, because I was empathetic with this situation, I felt kind of responsible. I couldn't let her be there alone. So I would like to understand where I can help being there, and where the action is not leading to any results or not helpful. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. I'm hearing your dilemma there. You know, you're quite busy yourself.
And yeah.
Mainly is you can't do anything about it yourself either.
Yes.
Right?
So yes.
I'm hearing this dilemma that you wanted to help, but you can't. But at the same
I'm doing actions, exactly.
But at the same time, you're doing actions.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So share with me, how did you feel when you're in that situation?
Mm-hmm. I felt alert. Something bad has happened, because now that the train doesn't go, she had business meetings in the afternoon, so all her meetings had to be canceled. So I felt alert. And I felt, it's interesting that you're asking, but I kind of felt guilty that she has this hassle when visiting me. So I felt responsible for the delay, for causing her inconvenience, even though it has nothing to do with me. I kind of felt guilty that she has that hassle.
Interesting. This, so you felt alert and also guilty, because it happened during her visiting you. So you felt you being responsible.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like the guilt is quite important there. I don't know how you feel. Is it something worthwhile to explore?
Yeah, it's interesting, because, you know, looking from a rational, from a cognitive point of view, it doesn't make sense at all that I feel guilty for some storm accident happening to the trains and to the electricity stuff. So it has nothing to do with me, but still I felt responsible and guilty. It's a good point, I think, to have a look at. Maybe that's the thing that's also driving the trigger into action.
So what comes to your mind now when we talk about the guilt?
Actually, I'm thinking this, it's funny now that we're talking about it. I think it's wrong, because it has nothing to do with guilt. It's nothing I caused or I did do by not doing anything. So I'm now confused why the guilt shows up. I don't have an explanation, really, because it absolutely doesn't make sense.
So it doesn't make sense to you now, but
no.
But it happens.
Yes. Really. Yeah.
Right. That's interesting.
And it's also, you know, when we talked earlier, this responsibility, which doesn't make sense either, because I'm not responsible for her trip.
I'm just wondering, where does this guilt show up? Did it only show up in this one instance, or was there a pattern in your life?
Good question. Mm. Well, when I was, you know, when I was younger, my sister was really sick. So she had to go to the hospital a lot. And I think I took a lot of responsibility early on in my, when I was younger. Mm. And also things which I couldn't change. So that's the thing that resonates with me. Trying to help my mom also, because she was overwhelmed many, many times when we had to rush to the hospital. So maybe it's something to do with this situation of sickness also cannot be helped, right? You have to go to the doctor, you have to go to take the medicine. So you cannot do as an individual something about it. So that's the only thing that resonates where I think the responsibility comes from. Mm. For something so you, which is not my responsibility.
So you're saying is something is not your responsibility,
mm-hmm.
but you felt like you're responsible for it.
Yes. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. So what made you feel that way, that you are responsible for it?
I think it's a way to do something. When I said earlier, I'm triggered into action, which is not really leading to a result because the trains are stopped. So I'm wondering if that's doing something in this, to cover up the helpless feeling. You know, action gives me the impression or the security that I can do something because I'm doing something.
Mm.
So I'm trying to find out the train. I'm trying to find out the information in the internet, even so there's not really reliable information, because if a whole train station is closed, there's so many trains, you know, connected to each other. There is no way you can get any information in such an incident. But I'm doing something, and it gives me the feeling that I can do something instead of being in this helpless mode.
So you're saying if you don't do anything, it gives you a sense of hopelessness.
Helplessness. Yes.
If you do something and it make you feel like, oh, I feel better because I am helping by
exactly.
doing something.
Exactly. But on the other hand, my head tells me, this is a really unfortunate situation for my friend, but currently, of course, if she says, you know, look up something for me, that's okay. But I got so triggered into action that the minute the phone rang all the time, and it went on for kind of 2 hours, 1.5 hours. And then she said, can you drive me there and there? And I said, no, I do have a coaching engagement. I have to be at a meeting. And it was really 2 hours where I was doing actions, not achieving anything. But yeah, it was a really strange situation. And it was the feeling of this helplessness because, you know, she said, oh, where should I go? And what should I do now? And I will be missing all my meetings, but this is not my responsibility, but it kind of hijacked me.
Okay. Thanks for sharing with me. You know, how you really feel and what is the situation. Because yeah. What I'm hearing is I would like to acknowledge something first. Because I'm hearing you are always being very helpful.
Yes.
You're very helpful, you know, in the family, with your friends, right?
Yes.
And you love helping people.
Yeah, I see, you know, I see when help is needed. So I've got a sensor for that. Mm. And I usually can help them. And it's something which, yes, it's right. It makes me who I am. The bad part of it is it needs to have boundaries.
Okay.
I need to see, and that's what I said, triggered into action where no action is needed because nothing can be done. So the boundaries, I think, is missing. And this just came when you said, Stephanie, you're always very helpful. That's true. And it's a good thing, but always is not a good thing. that just resonated with me.
So the key question sounds like you're asking yourself is, where is the boundary?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Because then if the boundary is there, the trigger is not happening automatically. Because if there is a boundary, then the trigger can be stopped. That's my feeling.
Okay. All right. If, say, right now there's another situation comes up,
mm-hmm.
and similar situation without, you know, much of control on your side.
Mm-hmm.
If you clear the boundaries, what would you have done instead?
Well, you mean now in a new context or with this friend, just when I did it in a different way?
How about we say, how could you have done a different way, in a different way, in the same situation?
In the same situation. Okay.
Yes.
I think, first of all, I should have or could have let her talk. You know, all this situation, it's unfortunate and she's missing her business meetings, and not engage, not jumping right to the solution, but just listen to that. And maybe acknowledging and feeling with her that this is something really unfortunate, which at the moment cannot be changed. So the first thing is, for me, delaying. So just listening and understanding what's going on. So what does she need? And then the trigger is not automatically happening because I'm delaying. So I'm listening. The second step would be to kind of ask her, once the negativity is out there, you know, sometimes you're frustrated and I'm missing. And, you know, when you have a business day and you have to travel and you're frustrated. So once the first flood of emotion is gone, because it's out there, I could ask her in a more, let's say, structured way, instead of proposing, I could ask her, you know, did you have any information? Did they give you anything yet? What are the alternatives? What have you thought about? It's pretty much like you ask them what they can do. It's not my job, not I can do something for them. So it's like when the boundary is there, the responsibility is with the other person again. I'm here to listen, but I'm not here to do.
Because it's their responsibility, it's not yours.
Yes, because I am not at, you know, all the stuff I could find online was not reliable. And there was at the train station, every 10 minutes, there was like an announcement, right? So they have this sound system with the announcement, please consider your next travel opportunities with the delayed schedule and all these things. It's all there. It's all with her, not with me. So kind of pointing the way into the opportunities, but not me looking up the opportunities. It's a difference. It's more like a guiding her towards options. Do you know what I mean? Instead of taking the responsibility and looking everything up myself.
I see what you mean. You're saying is by setting the boundaries that can help you not to take her responsibilities away.
Yes.
But you're still being there with her emotionally.
Exactly.
You're being empathetic.
Exactly.
And you are supporting her.
Yes.
But and you're not doing it for her. Is that right?
Right. And then, for example, setting the boundaries also means, when you said, what would you do in a differently now, is when she calls every 5 minutes, I could say, you know, it seems there's a lot of dynamic in the information flow. Just see what you can get, what information you can get until there is something we can act on. So basically giving her the responsibility to first collect the info and then coming back and not calling me every minute.
That sounds very good insights there.
Yeah.
How do you feel now?
Actually, it's interesting because when I talked to you in the beginning, it was like, you know, I said triggered into action, and it felt almost the helplessness that I cannot do anything about it anyway, because it always happens. Yeah, it's someone is in need, I jump in. But right now it sounds to me, that when I think about it and tell you about it, it sounds to me like I can take the decision to what degree I'm stepping in, and it's not like a trigger that's happening and I have no chance to stop it. Right now it feels like I could stop it, or at least not fully, you know, get flooded by it. No. And it feels actually lighter.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. So just you're feeling lighter. Mm-hmm. So just checking in with you. Mm-hmm. When we started the session, you would like to take away is to feel confident and observant.
Yes.
When you're being in such situations.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you're feeling lighter now. So where are we now as compared to where you wanted to be?
Mm-hmm.
How close are we to where you want it to be?
Yeah. You know, I think I have clarity on what happens. So I think I can link the trigger back to a situation when I was younger. So this kind of automatism jumping in and helping develop there and now automatically works. My feeling is that I'm seeing with much more clarity in terms of observant and awareness, what happens. So I need to be observant in the moment when someone comes in a very, you know, helpless situation and kind of asks for help. And I have to be observant, what can I do in this moment? My value system says I want to be there in this moment, but that doesn't mean I have to provide all the solutions.
Okay.
So that's what I'm seeing. The thing where I struggle a little bit still is, you know, now we talk about it and you said, how can you do it differently? I'm not sure if I can set the boundaries when the next trigger comes along. I probably can see it, but I'm not sure if I'm quick enough or alert enough to put the boundaries up to delay and see what's possible. So this is where I'm still a little bit having some question marks.
So what's in the way?
Maybe this, when I said earlier, this guilty feeling, feeling guilty, what the other person could think of me when I'm not doing the action. So it's more like being afraid of being rejected by the other person if I cannot bring a solution or an action.
What's in that feeling of being afraid of being rejected?
I think that's the barrier for the boundary. You know, if I tell her, for example, oh, you know, just gather the information. Now is a lot of, you know, announcements. And let's talk when you have the information so we can act on it. I feel like I let her down, like, you know, and she feels rejected.
Because I think, you felt like you didn't help.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to ask you, how does this fear of being rejected linked to the feeling confidence that that's what you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
What's the connection between
mm-hmm.
feeling being rejected and the feeling of being observant and confident?
Yeah, it's a good question, because that to be rejected is only a fear of me. It's probably not true. So it's more the fear of being rejected. It's not the actual being rejected. It's a fear of being rejected when I don't help.
What are you afraid of?
Good question. Probably, maybe our workshop might not be successful, you know, if we have this personal interference, this personal, let's say, atmosphere change, that our workshop will not be successful for our certification in the mindfulness training. So probably that. To be afraid not to achieve the workshop goals, the certification. If that doesn't work out and she thinks I'm not her help, maybe we don't collaborate well, something like that.
So it's linked with something else.
Yeah, I think it's linked with this, you know, if you don't help and don't do the best you can, this workshop will not work out. It's more linked with a performance or goal achievement. And which is totally surprising to me right now, because just as I'm talking to you, this comes up, and I was not aware at all, you know, that this is the fear. So if I don't help, we don't will be successful in the workshop.
So now when we look back at the whole situation, what have you learned?
I think two things or three things. The first thing is that I am aware of this helping tendency very strongly. That is a good tendency, which is helpful for people. And I have to be observant that I don't use it too much, because if you use it too much, it's not helpful anymore. You get triggered into actions which do not lead to any results or are not helpful. It's just actions for the actions to avoid the feeling of helplessness. I cannot do anything. So that's an interesting thing to understand, that by the action, I'm trying to avoid this awkward feeling of being helpless. I think that's really an insight. And the other thing is to be, when you said confident, if I am confident that I cannot do anything and I can voice it, so I can put up the boundary and say, you know, there's a lot of dynamics in the announcement. There's a lot of phone calls going on right now between us. How can we find a way to talk where I can support? So what is needed so I can support you? So I'm giving back this responsibility to where it belongs at the moment with the person who is able to make decisions, because I'm not. I'm sitting, I don't know, 20 kilometers away and being on the phone. So I think the major part is being okay with helplessness when it's really happening.
And that comes from being confident.
Yes. Yeah, being confident that there's nothing I can do, being open and aware and being approachable, but in a way that is more helpful to her, because I mean, you know, she says, look up this train, look up the plane, and all the things are not happening because we will not get the bus, we will not get the plane from where she is because all the traffic in the morning and everything. So all these actions causing even more fog in this situation where not really information was available, instead of being clear, this caused even more fog. And the fog was coming up from both sides, you know, spiraling. So I was saying, you know, the plane is not available, the Flixbus is not available. So what are the options? So there are no options. So going back to this helplessness, instead of waiting, staying with the announcement, and the announcement after 1.5 hours had a solution.
Yeah.
So it's this acceptance of being not able to help, but being there at the same time and therefore being able to help.
That sounds great. How does that sound to yourself?
It feels like a step in the right direction, but it also feels like work, because this pattern of avoiding helplessness by doing something is very strong. So I need to find a trick, as I discussed with you earlier, this kind of delaying and asking what's going on and listening to not jump in right away. So I think that's the process and that's the work I have to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So where should we move forward now?
I think we are at a good point of where I can, you know, work on this listening, delaying, and giving the responsibility back to the person it belongs to. It only means I have to be observant of the trigger and then start the new mechanism of delaying and asking and putting up the boundary. So that's basically the three steps I need to put in place to not automatically jump into action again.
What else would you need to feel confident to say, no, I realize there isn't much I can do, but I'm here with you?
I think it's also maybe voicing it to the person in terms of sharing, you know, right now the situation is like it is. We can wait for the announcement to design actions. Right now, to voice it, to say, to make the roles clear, Because if someone throws me a ball and I'm taking it, the other person thinks I'm can help even though I can. So it's like, again, the boundaries, right? Clarification of what I can do from where I am now. Mm. It's also voicing it. Not only being observant and aware there's nothing I can do in this moment, but also voicing it to the others that I have a feeling that there's limited things I can do right now because the situation with the look info at all at the location is where it is.
I'm curious now with what's your goal?
Mm-hmm.
When you're being observant, feeling confident,
mm-hmm.
at the same time, still being helpful to your friend.
Mm-hmm. What are you curious about?
Yeah, I'm curious about what are you trying to achieve in situations like that?
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to achieve? Like, mm-hmm. what kind of outcome you would like to have,
mm-hmm.
in the end,
mm-hmm.
for you and also for your friend?
I think the outcome is to be approachable, to be there emotionally, as we discussed earlier. On the other hand side, being clear what can be done now. And what cannot be done now. And by not being clear and jumping into action, and by not putting up this clarity, it's, you know, this circle, look up the train, look up the plane. So it's I think it's more clarity for both sides.
Mm.
And it's also the goal of not making a unchangeable situation even worse by putting action upon action upon action. So I think it's also a kind of relief and acceptance that is happening.
Mm.
And not avoiding being with this helplessness.
And if you do all these, how would that make your friend feel?
I think it would make her feel clear as well, because she said to me on the phone, I hate when I don't know what happens. I hate when I don't have information. And to acknowledge that and to say, yes, I can understand that. Right now, the situation is the way that we don't have any further information. You know, by acknowledging that, staying with the helplessness, it also is better for her, because she also says, okay, so we can do nothing about it. I think it's for her the same process as for me, to be honest. To slow down, to not stop into actions, to wait what the announcement says. And then to, you know, after the listening, thinking, not the trigger, the action jumping, but more this, okay, now that we have the information, what can we do? And I think that's also the clarity for her, is helping her to see that the situation will change again eventually after an hour or something, when the new trains are coming in.
Mm.
So I think it's a mutual process, because as I mentioned earlier, it's a spiral, right? She is triggering me into action and I'm giving her, oh, there is no train, there is no bus, there is no flight. So then it's going in this downward spiral.
Yeah, that wouldn't help.
No.
Either side.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're doing all this with what you have taken away today, being observant, being confident, but at the same time still being empathetic and also helpful,
mm-hmm.
where would the guilt or the fear of being rejected stand then?
I think they would not be there anymore, because by voicing what's going on, you know, what I feel in the process by voicing that, by bringing this into the transparency. So maybe we collect the information first before we look up all possibilities. By voicing that, by making it transparent, it kind of diminishes or dissolves. That's my feeling right now, because it doesn't, it's not valid.
Yeah.
It dissolves by the transparency and the clarity. Because fear is always something undefined, you know, something which is not clear. It's just there, and it's like fog. But once you have the transparency, so acknowledge the situation, voicing that we cannot do anything right now. So what's the best thing we can do is to wait for the announcements and to see what actions we can derive from there. I think that's when the fear is like melting, to be honest. Yeah,
the fog goes
it's
away.
It's like melting. It's like melting, you know? And it's a really good question, because being aware that this fear doesn't have a place there.
So while the fear is melting away, how are you feeling now?
Pretty clear. And on the other hand, also empowered to voice this clarity and putting up the boundary.
So what are the most important thing you have learned about yourself today?
I think stepping back into the questioning and delaying, as I mentioned earlier, putting transparently what I sense, what's going on in the situation. So also naming or making transparent that 10 phone calls in 2 minutes don't help, that we need to find a way to collect information in order to be impactful in our actions that we derive from the information. So this kind of slowing down, delaying, and also checking what the roles are. So, you know, what's her role? What's my role? Where can I help? But also being there and listening.
I'm still hearing the great helpfulness there, the empathy. And this, I'm sure, will be much helpful to her. But at the same time, I can hear the energy sounds like really centered.
Yeah.
And grounded to say, you know, yes, I can have a boundary there, because I know what is my responsibility and what is her responsibility.
Exactly. And you know, it's funny when you say centered, because this was the fear was off-centering me, and this fear of not being helpful, because I think it's an important value to me. And when I can ensure that I'm helpful and empathetic, I can, on the other hand, also be clear, because this value is covered. And when the value is covered, I'm confident.
So where's the sense of helplessness now with your new insights?
Well, helplessness is something you need to accept, because it's helplessness. You cannot do something at the very moment. But when you are observant and not triggered, at the next moment, the situation can look different, and there might be a new information, there might be another train, there might be a bus, whatever. But the helplessness for the moment cannot be changed, and it's okay, it cannot be changed.
Do you have a smile on your face? I can't see you at the moment.
Actually, yes. Actually, it's like the whole, it felt like a tense, you know, when I told you about it's really triggered me, and it did. Yeah. And I, as I said earlier, it felt not so much automated anymore. I can do something about it.
I can really hear your smile. So that's why I'm asking. Great. I'm conscious of the time.
Yes.
So wondering if we can start to move forward completing the session.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. we have reached. Some really great insights. So yes, we can.
So I'm just wondering, like you said, it has happened, and you know, not just once, right? So for going forward, what actions are you going to take or are you considering so that in such situations you can feel confident and observant?
Yeah. As I said, I think the trigger, the awareness of the trigger is there. So if someone is in need of help, and then I'm not jumping into action right away, but I'm kind of delaying by listening, by asking what's going on, what's the situation. So understand more what's going on with the person. Then by understanding more what's going on with the person, I can see more what I can do, if I can do anything, if helplessness is at the moment there, because it's a situation I cannot influence. I have to accept it for the moment. And then also by asking and giving responsibility back to the person, so not acting myself but giving it back to the person to say, what's the next time you're expecting information from the announcement, is there anything about any additional trains, any info, by trying to understand what's going on. And then giving back the responsibility, but at the same time being there, you know, being approachable.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
So if I ask you to use two or three words to describe how you're feeling now, what would you say?
I would say clear. I would say relieved of the guilt and the fear, because they have nothing to do. They have no function. They are just concepts right now. And the third one is really this empowerment. I'm empowered to steer this situation. I'm not triggered. I'm not helpless.
Because now you're clear.
Yes.
About what is triggering you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So what support or resources might help you to make all these new insights really sustainable in your life?
Actually, support, I don't think this is something I have to do by myself. So there's no one, you know, I can ask to help me. But I think the resources is the being observant, being centered, and being trying this new techniques, so really putting them into the practice the next time the trigger arises, and being really also aware that sometimes the trigger is stronger than me, but being, you know, being sustainable in terms of awareness, change it, and sometimes it happened I can't, but then stepping up again, so it's not giving up.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else that you'd like to explore before we conclude our session?
No, thanks. Well, it was really helpful to me today to get insights. What the triggers are doing to me and what I am letting them do to me. So I won't anymore.
So did you say, have we got where you wanted to be?
Yes. Yeah.
About feeling confident and observant.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
thank you.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you. I just so appreciate your helpfulness there. And I can just feel, you know, you have such a warm and helpful heart that you want to be there for people. So I think your friend is lucky to have you.
I hope so. Yeah. I think yes, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So I really appreciate that, you know, you got insights of, you know, where's the boundary.
Yeah.
What does it do for your friend and for yourself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Okay, well, you're very welcome. So I'll see you next time then.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thank
Bye.
you. Bye, well.
Bye.